Thank you for joining us for this episode of Comply on the Fly with M3 and Karen B. Comply on the Fly is your trusted weekly resource for reliable insight and quick answers on common employee benefits compliance questions. Please note, this podcast and the contents herein do not constitute legal advice. Seek the advice of counsel for any employee benefits compliance-related guidance or strategy.
Hello, everyone. I'm Karen B. And the Comply on the Fly topic for today is Section 105H, non-discrimination testing. Specifically, who does it apply to and what is it? First, it is important to know that 105H non-discrimination requirements apply to self-funded health plans, self-funded medical, including HRAs and FSAs, and self-funded dental. So, if you are fully insured and do not have any self-funded plans, these non-discrimination requirements would not apply. The Affordable Care Act, or ACA, included some non-discrimination requirements for fully insured plans, but regulations were never promulgated. So for now, fully insured health plans are not required to do non-discrimination testing. But this has been a requirement for self-funded plans even before the ACA. The 105H non-discrimination requirements prohibit self-insured health plans from discriminating in favor of highly compensated individuals, or HCIs, with respect to eligibility to participate in the plan and to the benefits provided under the plan. The required testing is a two-part process that includes an eligibility test and a benefits test. If the plan fails either test, at least a portion of the benefits provided to the HCIs, or highly compensated individuals, become taxable. The first test is the eligibility test, which determines whether or not enough non-highly compensated individuals can participate in the plan. There are three alternative tests that can be used to pass this requirement. First, the 70% test, which requires that 70% or more of all non-excludable employees participate in the plan. The second is the 70%-80% test, which is a two-part test. First, determining if at least 70% of all non-excludable employees are eligible to participate in the plan. And then, if at least 70% are eligible, that at least 80% of those eligible actually participate in the plan. And finally, the non-discriminatory classification test, which is passed if the employer can demonstrate that employees qualify under a classification set up by the employer that the IRS determines does not discriminate in favor of highly compensated individuals. And this test is more subjective than the first two and best used when one of the first two tests cannot be satisfied. Now, we're talking a lot about highly compensated individuals, or HCIs, and we're talking about excludable employees. So what are HCIs, or highly compensated individuals? They are one of the five highest paid officers, a shareholder who directly or indirectly owns more than 10% of the value of the employer's stock, and the top 25% paid employees. Excludable employees are employees that have not completed 3 years of service, employees who are younger than 25 at the beginning of the plan year, part-time and seasonal employees, employees covered by a collective bargaining agreement, and non-resident aliens with no U.S. source earned income. That list of excludable employees does not need to be included in the calculation. Moving on to the second test, which is the benefits test. This test determines whether the plan discriminates in favor of highly compensated individuals based on plan design. In essence, the plan cannot discriminate on the face of the plan and in operation of the plan. Discrimination on the face of the plan could be something such as requiring HCIs, or those highly compensated people, to contribute less to the premium, or an application of a shorter waiting period to the highly compensated individuals. Discrimination in operation could be providing a certain benefit to be used by a highly compensated individual and then ceasing to provide such benefit once that highly compensated individual stops using the benefit. The consequences of failure depend upon which test was failed. Only highly compensated individuals will be impacted by the failure. Essentially, highly compensated individuals will have the value of excess reimbursements assessed as taxable income. Please note that if you have a self-funded plan or plans and treat highly compensated individuals and non-highly compensated individuals the same, the risk of failure would be minimal. Testing should be completed annually in case of an IRS audit. Coordination with your tax professional would be a good idea. And that is your Comply on the Fly topic for today. Thanks for tuning in.
What's on your mind? If you have a pressing compliance question, send it to askkarenb@m3ins.com. We'll do our best to cover it in an upcoming episode. You can now follow and subscribe to Comply on the Fly on Spotify and iTunes. Make sure to tune in next week and encourage others to join us.